Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of the action from the Premier League over the weekend. Still one more fixture to come in the Premier League tonight at Selhurst Park. It's the M23 derby, despite the fact that the M23 doesn't go through where Crystal Palace play or where Brighton play. But anyway, it is Crystal Palace against Brighton on the Monday Night Football. We'll also be talking about all the top stories from the Premier League, especially in light of all the games over the weekend, and also finding out the fate of all 9 British clubs in both the Champions League last 16 and the Europa League last 32 draws. All 9 sides know which teams they will face in February and March of next year. So we'll be reacting to all of that over the next hour. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to come over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, we want to hear from you no matter where you are in the UK. Make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon to share your views on your Premier League club. So let's start off with the Premier League action. We'll talk more about the Champions League draw and the Europa League draw in just a few moments' time. But a rundown of all of the results from the Premier League weekend. It started on lunchtime on Saturday at Anfield. A pretty lacklustre performance by Liverpool against bottom of the table Watford. It was top versus bottom, but 2 goals from Mohamed Salah was enough for Liverpool to continue their fantastic start to the season. Another 3 points. Then on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Burnley 1, Newcastle 0 at Turf Moor. The less said about that, probably the better, but Burnley stopping a poor run with a win against Newcastle. One of the big shocks of the weekend came at Stamford Bridge. Frank Lampard's Chelsea lost 1-0 at home against Bournemouth, who have so many injuries, pretty much a whole starting 11 out injured. Dan Gosling's goal, which had been given offside, then was overturned by VAR, gained all 3 points for Eddie Howe's side. A crucial victory for them after a very poor run. At the King Power, another surprise result, and it saw Leicester drop points. They've gone on a fantastic scoring, or a winning run, but they drew 1-1 against Norwich. Jamie Vardy had thought he'd scored for a 9th successive game, but it was given an own goal by Tim Krul after Timu Pukki had given Norwich the lead. It means now Liverpool are 10 points clear at the top of the Premier League table. Sheffield United won 2-0 at home against Aston Villa. 2 John Fleck goals for Chris Wilder's side secured all 3 points. Interesting fact about this game, both managers were boyhood clubs of the teams they manage now, which you don't see very often. And the fact that we have 11 British managers currently in the Premier League, we haven't seen that in a long, long while. A crucial game on the South Coast on Saturday evening saw West Ham win it 1-0 away at Southampton. Pressure, maybe it's slightly off Manuel Pellegrini, maybe not. Pressure, though, ramping up on Ralph Hasenhüttl. On to Sunday's action, 3 games at Old Trafford. Everton looked like they were going to get 3 points, thanks to an own goal from Victor Lindelöf. But Manchester United's Mason Greenwood came off the bench, scored the equaliser, but it did finish 1-1. At Molineux, despite the home team's dominance, Wolves went down 2-1 at home against Tottenham. Jan Vertonghen scored a late winner for Jose Mourinho's side. And at the Emirates, a very comfortable afternoon for Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. It finished Arsenal 0, Manchester City 3. 2 goals for Kevin De Bruyne. Could have had a stunning hat-trick inside the opening 45 minutes. And from Raheem Sterling, it meant that it was a very easy afternoon for Manchester City. And as I mentioned, just one more game to come tonight. Crystal Palace take on Brighton on the Monday Night Football. Looking at the Premier League table as it stands, then Liverpool 10 points clear ahead of Leicester, 49 29 points out of a possible 51 so far. Leicester are in second still, 10 points behind on 39. Manchester City are in third, 4 points behind that, 14 points still behind leaders Liverpool. Chelsea, after a fourth loss in five, they still are in the top four, but they're only 3 points ahead of Tottenham, Manchester United and Sheffield United, both on 25. At the bottom of the table, Watford still at the bottom on 9 points, 6 points from safety. Norwich are in 19th on 12 points after their draw against Leicester. Southampton into the bottom three on 15 points. Aston Villa just outside it by goal difference. Crucial performances, though, at the weekend for the likes of Everton, West Ham and Bournemouth as well. Looking through some of the top stories then from the Premier League before we look at those European draws that have taken place today so far. It's emerged today that Mikel Arteta, is leading contender for the Arsenal job. Despite the fact that they were playing each other at the Emirates, where in theory they could have met Mikel Arteta after the game somewhere in London, they decided to go and have meetings with him up at his house up in the northwest in the early hours of the morning. Seems strange why he wouldn't just ask for permission to speak to him in London. But Manchester City have asked Arteta to clarify his future after Arsenal officials were photographed coming out of his house earlier this morning. As I mentioned, for Liverpool, it was a pretty, well, from my point of view as a Liverpool fan, it was a pretty embarrassing performance. I thought we were absolutely shoddy on the weekend. I think there was a little bit of arrogance and a bit of complacency. We just rocked up to Anfield against the bottom play side that had only won one game all season and just expected it to be easy. It was quite laid back, quite lacklustre, very, very slow. And in some ways, we were quite fortunate to win that game. What proved to be the difference was a world-class player at either end, Mo Salah, scoring twice. That's his 83rd and 84th goals in 126 appearances at Liverpool. Two more than Luis Suarez netted in 133 games. Just simply, utterly phenomenal statistics from Mo Salah. And at the other end, the best goalkeeper in the world, Alisson, coming up with some big, big saves. That was ultimately the difference, because there were a lot of really poor to average performances from the Liverpool team, but quality at both ends from Alisson and Mo Salah proved to be the difference. Injury-stricken Bournemouth ending their losing run at Chelsea. Not many saw this coming, but is this average Chelsea side being exposed for the average team that it is? I think that they have flattered to deceive at times, and it's a very inexperienced, very young side, a very inexperienced manager. And I think people were getting a bit carried away earlier in the season, thinking Chelsea were maybe slightly better than they are. As I mentioned, a crucial result for Manuel Pellegrini's West Ham at the weekend. Does it really take a lot of pressure off Manuel Pellegrini? My thoughts, probably not. But the pressure is certainly ramping up on Ralf Hasenhüttl's side in the relegation zone. We're not staring down the barrel of relegation quite yet, but certainly he is under pressure. Arsenal yesterday, embarrassing Manchester City, very, very good. I think it was definitely a combination of the two. Kevin De Bruyne's first half performance was simply outstanding. Could have had a pretty phenomenal hat-trick. I mean, that finish for the first one on the half volley, to be able to keep that down is pretty phenomenal. City were fantastic in the second half. They were just able to take their foot off the gas and it'd be a training exercise. Arsenal, pretty embarrassing. Shows how awful they really are at the moment. And at the game at Old Trafford, it shows that Manchester United at the moment, or this season so far, have been better against the better sides. But when teams come to defend, United's lack of creativity, their lack of second plan B, their second option was really exposed. That a lack of any sort of creativity in midfield meant they just couldn't break down that Everton blockade. But perhaps the bigger storyline was obviously Moise Kean, who was substituted, having come on as a substitute. And very interestingly, after the game, Duncan Ferguson openly admitted to Sky Sports that it was an opportunity to waste time. He didn't make any bones about it, didn't lie about it. He said they were just trying to find a way to waste some time at the end of the game to get a point, which is very, very openly honest to say that. Where does that leave Ken, who's been linked with a move away? Only time will tell. So those are some of the top stories from the Premier League. But we've had two big draws today. The Champions League, so the proper competition, and the Losers Cup, the Europa League, that took place just over an hour after the proper draw. So the Champions League last 16 draw took place. All four English sides that took their place in the group stages obviously took their place in the last 16 draw. And there are some pretty fascinating ties to look forward to. The first tie out of the hat, Borussia Dortmund against Paris Saint-Germain. A return for Thomas Tuchel back to his former side. Then at in the second tie, it's a former Barcelona manager making the trip back to the Santiago Bernabeu. It is Real Madrid against Manchester City. Where will those two sides be at in a couple of months' time? Atalanta against Valencia. So Atalanta is obviously first season in the Champions League. They're the first team to have got through the group, having only picked up 1 point from their first four games. I think they're the second side to get through after winning none of their first three. The other side were Newcastle, actually. They take on Valencia, who obviously surprised everyone, winning the group that had Chelsea and Ajax in it. The next one, the next English side out of the hat, were Liverpool. They play Atletico Madrid. Obviously, a return for Liverpool back to the Wanda Metropolitano, which, of course, was the seed of Liverpool winning their sixth European Cup back in June against Tottenham. Chelsea play Bayern Munich. Obviously, a repeat of the 2012 Champions League final. Remember, Chelsea played in Munich and won against the odds in that game. So, an interesting one for Frank Lampard's side against the only side to be 100%. In the Champions League group stages this season. Lyon take on Juventus. Tottenham have the easiest draw they could have possibly had, but they do take on the side that are currently top of the Bundesliga. Tottenham will play Leipzig and Napoli will play Barcelona. Remember, all the seeded sides are away from home in the first leg, so PSG, City, Valencia, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, Juventus, RB Leipzig and Barcelona. All the other sides are obviously at home first leg, so obviously the seeded sides play away in the first leg, then at home in the second leg. Those will be played in the middle of February and in the middle of March. And what makes it so intriguing is that we're still a couple of months away from them. So we don't know exactly the form of these sides, how many injuries they might have, where the fitness is up to with certain players that might be injured at the moment. That's what makes it so intriguing. But a lot of really good ties there. I think there are very few in there that you think there's not much interest in there. There is so much interest from so many of those games, so many different narratives coming out of all of those games. Just a reminder of the four English side ties: Real Madrid against Manchester City, Atletico Madrid against Liverpool, Chelsea play Bayern Munich, and Tottenham take on RB Leipzig. In the Europa League, last 32 draw, remember, not the last 16 quite yet. Obviously, a number of Champions League sides have dropped from the Champions League into the Europa League. Looking through the five British sides, Wolves were the first team out of the hat. They will take on Spanish side Espanyol. Celtic will travel to Copenhagen in the first leg of their last 32. Arsenal will face one of those sides that have dropped out of the Champions League in Tottenham's group, Olympiacos. Arsenal will be away in the first leg. And Manchester United have the same sort of thing to Arsenal. They have a side that's dropped out of the Champions League in PSG and Real Madrid's group. They will take on Club Brugge and Rangers will play Braga. So obviously both Champions League and Europa League draws, all nine of the British clubs have found out their fate going into those draws. As I said, they will be played out in the middle of the Champions League in the middle of February and the middle of March. The Europa League, because it's the last 32 stage, both ties will be played over the space of just a week in the middle of February. So plenty to look forward to in the Champions League. As I said, some great games in there. City playing Real Madrid, Pep Guardiola making the trip back to the Bernabeu, where obviously a big rivalry when he was the Barcelona manager. Liverpool returning to the scene of their sixth European Cup success at the Wanda Metropolitano against Atletico Madrid. Chelsea returning to Munich, where they won the 2012 Champions League final, and for Tottenham, perhaps an easier draw for them against the current Bundesliga leaders RB Leipzig. It's all on the journey to the Atatürk Stadium in Istanbul on the 30th of May 2020, obviously the scene of the miracle of Istanbul in 2005, where Liverpool obviously came from 3-0 down against AC Milan, drawing 3-0 and then winning on penalties. So many great narratives coming out of the Champions League draw. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon about the Champions League draw, about the Europa League draw, or about anything to do with the Premier League, get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Later in the hour, we are going to be talking a bit more about the Champions League, and we're going to be talking about Chelsea. Obviously, they have been drawn against Bayern Munich, a really intriguing tie in prospect in that one. We're going to be talking about Arsenal, an embarrassing defeat for them yesterday. Mikel Arteta is now the leading contender for the Arsenal job. But up next, we'll be talking all things Manchester United. Love Sport. Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Just a reminder of the Champions League draw that took place this morning. Real Madrid will take on Manchester City. Atletico Madrid will take on Liverpool. Chelsea will play Bayern Munich and Tottenham against Leipzig. The other games, Dortmund, PSG, Atalanta against Valencia, Lyon take on Juventus and Napoli take on Barcelona. In the Europa League, the five British sides have found out their fate. Wolves will play Espanyol, Copenhagen against Celtic, Olympiacos take on Arsenal, Rangers take on Braga, and Club Brugge take on Manchester United. And talking of Manchester United, let's talk to Jamie Jackson, Manchester football correspondent for The Guardian. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jamie. Before we come on to that Europa League draw, let's start off with yesterday's game. Manchester United drew 1-1 at home against Everton. United struggled to break down that Everton blockade. Was that their biggest problem yesterday, that the lack of a creative midfielder that could really run the game and really break down that stubborn Everton defence?
Well, they actually had some chances which kind of weren't finished, basically. Lingard, for example, right from the start, literally from kickoff, I think it was a flick on and he turned in the box and couldn't finish it. And there was a couple of others, Daniel James got in. But, I mean, broadening it out, yeah, I mean, you know, that's obviously an issue. They finished those two chances and they're sort of 2-0 up. But I think there is an issue there with, yeah, more defensive teams, if I can put it that way. You know, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Palace, they all lost two previously, and West Ham as well. And, yeah, I mean, they need a couple of creative midfielders. They need more goals because beyond Rashford, you know, there's a little bit of a paucity. Mason Greenwood starting to come into the picture in that regard. I think it was his third goal in a week, the equaliser. But they did struggle until then. It looked like they were going to lose again in similar fashion. So I think it's a fair point. I think it's definitely one that Solskjaer, you know, is going to try and address.
A lot was made, Jamie, of the Everton goal and a number of Manchester United fans upset with the lack of a foul given by or from Calvert-Lewin on David De Gea. There was criticism of David De Gea looking like what he was at Manchester United when he first joined, when he was a bit of a flappy type of goalkeeper. Looking at that and looking back replay after replay, what's your view on that? Do you think that there was enough there to overturn that decision and give it a free kick? Or were you thinking that the amount of protection goalkeepers get given this day and age, maybe it's about right that an attacker had a bit more leeway?
Yeah, I think, you know, a goalkeeper can use his hand, obviously. So if he's going to come for a ball like that, he has to just take the ball and everyone else, you know, in the way, basically, because he does have that protection. So I don't think he's going to be done for a foul and a penalty given. So I do kind of put it at De Gea's door. On the other hand, I could see how it might have been ruled out. But, I personally think it was a fair goal. And, you know, I don't know, defensively, we are a little bit shaky. Lindelof, you know, it sort of bounced off him, didn't it? And he obviously didn't expect it to come to him, but at the same time, that's kind of his job. He has to be thinking every Evangelo, you know, if this is missed, what am I going to do with it? You know, he's supposedly, and I think he kind of is, you know, getting towards a top-class defender. But I suppose from there, what I was impressed with was, you know, are they actually going to come back into this? And they got to half-time and it wasn't the greatest sort of tone at the ground. There was a disappointment there at Old Trafford. And he pulled a bit of a stroke, I thought, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, putting on Greenwood, because he obviously scored the goal. And what a finish it was. And it just goes to show the difference. It's a very simple thing to say, but it's so true in football. If you have a lethal finisher, then you only need one or two chances. Look at Aguero, look at Vardy. You know, look at the Liverpool front line, especially someone like Salah, when he's on top of his game. You know, half a chance and it's good night at Vienna. And Rashford, I would suggest, has been very good this season. Has elevated himself. Brilliant against the top six clubs, you know, the big clubs, I can put it that way. But he's still not absolutely as lethal as, say, Aguero. And maybe Greenwood is a big ask, but maybe Greenwood is the one. Solskjaer, again, seems to think he is. He said he's the best finisher at the club. So, you know, let's see what happens, the Colchester game and the upcoming games after that, if he maybe starts it.
You mentioned Mason Greenwood's name there, Jamie. He obviously came off the bench, scored the equaliser. Yeah. Gary Neville has said that he believes that Greenwood is the real deal. There were lots of statistics flying around yesterday about how he's already scored more Manchester United goals than the likes of Alexis Sanchez and Radamel Falcao and Angel Di Maria, players that have Manchester United have spent millions and millions on.
Yes.
Do you think it's far too early to be kind of piling this pressure on, or is that just how highly within Manchester United they rate Mason Greenwood?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too high if he can handle it. And I would go back to the Spurs game. If you recall that match, Kieran, he started that game. He's 18 years old. He led the line and he played brilliantly. That for me is his best performance. You know, against the Jose Mourinho Tottenham, they really went. You know, he went to that game under a lot of pressure. If you remember, certainly Solskjaer did, and the team, and you know, he was part of a very, very good performance. So I think he can handle it. Or has certainly showed so far he can. I mean, he just keeps scoring. He just keeps on doing what he's kind of there for. If you play centre forward for Manchester United at 18, let's just stand back from that a little bit, against Tottenham Hotspur, and you carry yourself after only a few games. I think it was his first Premier League start this season, only his second ever. The other one was Cardiff when they lost last game of last season. You've got something special, I would suggest. He obviously has to play on and be consistent, but crumbs, that is. I like about him is a little bit like Rooney was at that age, which doesn't seem to make a mistake. And what I mean by that, I don't just mean, you know, he controls the ball instantly, but he doesn't make the wrong decision. He makes smart football decisions. He knows when to distribute, he knows when to try and beat a player. And that was one thing I always thought about Rooney at that age, 17, 18. I'm not saying at all he's in the same league as Rooney at the moment, but what I'm saying is he's got that sort of maturity, which kind of basically I think you're born with as a top footballer, because you can get footballers who have a career who still make the wrong decisions. You think, crumbs, you're 27, 28. Why have you not learned that? Whereas at Greenwood, it's just instinctively he's got a calmness. And, you know, I think he's another positive for Ollie as we basically approach. I mean, that was our last league game yesterday before the 1 year anniversary of his appointment as caretaker manager, which I think is Thursday. So, you know, he's a massive plus.
Looking ahead then to Manchester United's next game, it comes up on Wednesday evening. It's in the Carabao Cup at home against Colchester. How does Ole Gunnar Solskjaer approach this game? Because with the Carabao Cup, there is this stigma around it that it's not really particularly important and no one is particularly fussed if they get knocked out. But once you get to this stage of the competition, inevitably it's taken a bit more seriously. But considering the opponent, does that change Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's thinking? If it had been a fellow Premier League side, do you think he'd go much stronger than he might do on Wednesday?
I think he now looks at this competition and thinks, I can win this. And if he wins, I can't remember the finals, back in the February, early March. But if he was to secure a trophy then he's definitely safe, because Woodward, whoever else has to answer critics of you know, where the team might be at that stage, he's won a trophy in his first full season. So I think he'll be going all out on Wednesday. I'd like to see him play a stronger team as possible, and I'm not saying he necessarily will. But to be honest, he haven't really got, unless they're not going to do a Nistana away where he basically played, you know, 9 or 10 junior players. So they haven't really got, you know, who do you, all right, maybe you drop a Fred for a Matic, but that's quite a good replacement in terms of playing Colchester. So I think the team puts out will be strong. And really, they should be beating Colchester. If I could take you back to David Moyes' only season in charge, he got to a semi-final of the League Cup, as it's sort of basically called. And I think they lost to Sunderland. And looking back on that, if he'd done, you know, if he'd won that trophy then, which, you know, it's definitely was winnable, he would have survived, I would have think, because a trophy is a trophy. It's simple. It's like you can only win one of three, or, well, okay, four in this case, because they're in the Europa League. So I think he's looking at this now, thinking, yeah, you know, let's go for this. So to flip it round, if they somehow lose to Colchester, big disappointment. So I don't think he wants that to happen.
And in the last hour or so, Jamie, the Europa League last 32 draw has taken place. A couple of the English sides in action against sides that have dropped down from the Champions League. Arsenal will take on Olympiacos. Manchester United, it's Club Brugge, who nearly won at the Bernabeu earlier in the group stage when they were 2-0 up and drew 2-2. Do you think United will be looking at this and thinking they'd have maybe preferred one of those sides that at this stage of the competition there is still a lot of what I would call garbage in the Europa League last 32? Do you reckon they would have been hoping for one of those garbage teams rather than a decent side like this dropping down from the Champions League?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I still think Club Brugge, surely United have got enough wits about them to you know, if not, you know, beat them, basically. I was going to say run them close, but that sounds very, very sort of negative. I hear what you're saying. You know, they did well against Real Madrid. But I'm pretty sure, well, I know, they played Club Brugge in a European competition. I think it was a Champions League qualifier under Van Gaal, it would have been. I did those games. And, you know, obviously not Bruges out that year. It was the year that United lost to Wolfsburg and were knocked out of the group stage. So they've got a recent history then. Was that 2016 or 2015? 2015 it would have been. So I'm looking at that again, kind of similar as Carabao Cup. Okay, there's one more round, isn't there? Because the last 32, we get to the last 16 in Europa League. But again, my memory's a bit dim, but I'm pretty sure Mourinho won the League Cup and the Europa League in his first season. Got them into the Champions League via that. So it's a big if. It's a long way away. But imagine if Solskjaer gets to the summit and he's qualified for the Champions League, let's say, via the Europa League by winning that, a European trophy. That for me is success for him in the season, the context of what he's trying to do, all the pressure he's under. So I think he's looking at both these competitions. And what I like about him is I'm pretty sure, people like Mourinho, Guardiola, they want to win every game, stroke every trophy, because that's how you get a winning mentality. The players are always switched on. It's kind of what these big clubs are about. And I know Solskjaer is exactly of the same school. So I expect them to go far in both these competitions. And, let's see if they can win at least one of them.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jamie. That was Jamie Jackson, Manchester football correspondent for The Guardian, talking about that draw yesterday against Everton at Old Trafford, where Everton obviously got to that goal through Cavalier and through the Lindelof own goal. And I sort of look at that and think, with that VAR situation, that there's so much protection given to goalkeepers. They're so well protected. You only need to breathe on a goalkeeper nowadays and it's suddenly a free kick. Whereas if you think of it the other way around, would people be calling for a penalty if David De Gea was showing his strength and bundling Calvert-Lewin out of the way to catch the ball? No, you wouldn't. So I don't really get the sympathy there. And also, maybe it's no surprise as a Liverpool fan that I have no sympathy for Manchester United, but you all said that the foul by Lindelof on Origi wasn't a foul when you played against us, and yet you're complaining about that. It seems a bit of sour grapes, but United's lack of that, they are more suited to playing on the counter attack. You look at that front four with Rashford and Martial and James, they're well suited to doing that. But when they have to break a side down, people were talking about after winning against City just over a week ago that this is a run where United can go on, but actually they're struggling against middle of the table sides where they can't really break down sides. United drawn against Club Brugge in the Europa League last 32, and they are in quarter final action in the EFL Cup in the League Cup coming up on Wednesday night at home against Colchester United. Just a few other lines to bring you. United's opponents yesterday were Everton and Duncan Ferguson, who has won one, drawn one in his first two games as interim head coach. He will also be in caretaker charge on Wednesday when Everton host Leicester in the League Cup quarter-finals. So Everton's search for a new manager goes on, as it does for Arsenal. And they obviously have made Mikel Arteta their number one target to take over. They had talks with him. It seems strange why they went all the way up to the northwest to have talks with him at his house when City were literally playing Arsenal in London yesterday. It seems strange why they didn't just open talks. But it's strange. If you want Arteta, then surely you just ask permission for City and kind of just say, this is what we're after, we want him, rather than playing kind of cloak and dagger, really. It doesn't really make a huge amount of sense. Just a reminder of the two draws that took place today. The Champions League, the four English sides in the last 16, Real Madrid against Manchester City, Atletico Madrid against Liverpool, Chelsea, Bayern Munich and Tottenham against RB Leipzig. In the Europa League last 32 draw, Wolves will play Espanyol, Copenhagen against Celtic, Olympiacos against Arsenal, Club Brugge against Manchester United and Rangers take on Braga. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be talking more about Chelsea later in the hour. A disappointing defeat for them on the weekend. They've been drawn against Bayern Munich, obviously a repeat of the 2012 Champions League final. But up next, we'll be talking all things Arsenal.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. The final game of the weekend, obviously we still got one more to come, but the final game on Sunday yesterday was at the Emirates, and Arsenal were outplayed, outfought, outperformed by Manchester City. It finished Arsenal 0, Manchester City 3. Where are Arsenal at? I'm delighted to say we're joined by Harry Simeon from the Chronicles of Aguna podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Harry. I was mentioning that game yesterday against Manchester City, maybe not a surprise that Manchester City won, but considering how good a side they are, they may have gone through a bit of a patchy stretch of form this season, but they're still a phenomenal side. But I suppose the worrying thing for Arsenal fans was the inevitability, the predictability about it, and the fact that in the first half, Arsenal were just never there, were they?
No, absolutely not. And you're absolutely right, mate. It's, the problem is that you can't afford such top quality players that kind of space and expect not to get hurt. And that's what Arsenal did. They made it far too easy for City in the opening stages, who ultimately ran out 3-0 winners without, in my opinion, ever coming out of second gear. And that's the really worrying thing. Everything is wrong at the moment from top to bottom. You know, we're hearing Freddie Ljungberg come out and talk about the fact that he doesn't have a full staff. And I just think that kind of thing is unacceptable at this level. And Arsenal need to get on with it, hire a manager who's going to come in and turn things around and at least have a direction of travel at the very least.
So after the game in this morning, it emerged that Arsenal officials had held talks with Mikel Arteta, who's become the leading contender for the job. Why they didn't do it in London rather than fly up to the northwest, seemingly stalking him, is a bit strange. Do you think that he is the right man, considering there are, as you've mentioned in the past, Harry, numerous changes that need to be made at Arsenal? Is he the right man? And also from his perspective, is this the right job to take?
I think from his perspective, first of all, it's a very difficult job and one that may be a little bit beyond him, given that he hasn't got experience as a main man, as the manager. Look, I'd love him to come in and do well because he's an ex-Arsenal player, etc. But I just feel like from our perspective, we are in such dire straits at the moment that you probably need to go out there and get somebody a little bit more experienced, somebody with that stature to come in and get people behind him and basically rattle people. And I don't think that Mikel Arteta is that type of character. In terms of his philosophy, he's probably a great coach. You know, he's been learning under the best, in my opinion, so he would have picked up a lot of great things. But do Arsenal have the players to play the way that Manchester City do? Do they have the tools to implement that style? That is the thing I'd question, and that's why I'd question whether he is on the right fit or not.
Going back to yesterday's game then, Harry, when Mesut Ozil was substituted, quite a lot was being made of it. He stormed off and kicked his gloves. When you see that type of reaction, how do you view that? Because one way would think, just get off the field, go off, you haven't played particularly well, accept it, move on and just clap the fans and then go to your seat. But on the other hand, other fans may think, actually, he's shown a bit of passion there, shows that it actually does mean more than maybe some people have perceived Mesut Ozil of. How do you view that incident?
I see it as a complete non-issue, to be honest. I think that it's the same nonsense that led to the whole Granit Xhaka situation where fans were getting on his back for, in my opinion, not very much at all. And I feel like it's just a culture at the club now and it's not acceptable. It's not something I'm proud to associate with Arsenal fans. You know, you can't sit there and moan that he doesn't try and he doesn't work hard. After the second goal, he was the most angry player on the park. You could see it, maybe not if you weren't in the stadium, but you could see him turn around and have a real go at his teammates. And the act of frustration, I mean, this is a player that we talk about not caring. So I don't see why people take an issue with that. I don't see why some people booed him. I think it's a complete load of nonsense. And it's kind of a telltale sign of the fact that maybe the supporters around our football club at the moment have got too much influence, too much power, and feel as though they can just get away with anything. And to me, that makes Arsenal a very unattractive place for players to come.
So after yesterday's game, Arsenal are ninth. They will drop down to 10th no matter what happens in tonight's game. But because of Chelsea's poor form, Arsenal are only 7 points off the top four. And considering Arsenal being so poor at the start of this season, Do you still look at it and think there is a genuine possibility if Arsenal get this appointment right and get other decisions right, that a top four place is still available to Arsenal this season?
Well, mathematically, it's still available. But I just think that given the next three games we've got coming up, which are Everton, Chelsea and United, I think it's going to be a really tall order. I think if we don't find ourselves further behind by the end of that run, I'll be very surprised. So I think whoever comes in, that maybe that will be just a little bit beyond them. Through no fault of their own, of course, you know, we're in this situation because of what's gone on in the past. But I just think it's a little bit off now. And I think, you know, maybe it's time to put our eggs in the Europa League basket. Very difficult draw. Probably one of the most difficult we could have got. But, you know, it's a team that we can get through. So fingers crossed we maybe do it that route.
So it's as if you were reading my questions off, Harry. It is Olympiakos in the last 32 of the Europa League. Two winger sides actually have got sides that have dropped from the Champions League. Manchester United take on Club Brugge. Arsenal against Olympiakos, where Arsenal have actually lost quite a few games in European competitions. There aren't that many sides that Arsenal have lost more to in Europe than Olympiakos. Do you look at that and think that's a dangerous game and it's a real risk for Arsenal being knocked out, especially as you said, the fact that Europa League could be Arsenal's best chance of qualifying for next season's Champions League?
Yeah, it is a dodgy draw because I'm actually from a Greek background, so I watch a lot of Olympiakos, and they're a much stronger side this season than they have been in the last 3 or 4 years. Notoriously very good at home. They've got a really impressive record in Athens, but on the road, they're not so good. So if Arsenal can limit the damage done in Greece, then I think, you know, we have a really good chance of going through. But this is a team with a lot of talent. It's a team that are very high in confidence at the moment. They have a lot of belief in what they do. Portuguese management team in there who have gone in and instilled a lot of good tactical work. And so I expect it to be a difficult draw. It is a really, really tough game. But, you know, Arsenal do have the quality to get through it. It's just whether we can apply ourselves.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Harry. That was Harry Simeon from the Chronicles of Aguna podcast talking about that game yesterday between Arsenal and City. And I think it very much was a combination of City being at their free-flowing best and Kevin De Bruyne was just pulling the strings. He's proving why he's the best creative midfielder in the Premier League, why he's one of the top players, not just in this league, but in Europe at the moment. So for however good City were, my goodness, if you're an Arsenal fan, you must have been embarrassed, ashamed of watching that, because I know Arsenal have got a few injuries at the back, and they've got another one that Bellerin went off injured the other day. Kieran Tierney's out for 3 months with a dislocated shoulder. Sayo Kolasinac got injured yesterday, which meant that Bukayo Saka went on at left back. It doesn't help, but irrelevant of injuries, Arsenal's defence is just shambolic, and the way in which in the second minutes of the game, and Martinelli could have actually scored after 30 seconds, but the way in which City just cut through that Arsenal defence, it was as if Arsenal were saying, here you go. Here's free space to roam into. If you give Kevin De Bruyne, Raheem Sterling, time and space, you're just asking for trouble even on a slightly off day. And yesterday was not an off day for Manchester City. They ripped them to utter shreds. And you feel like, actually, City really could have put Arsenal to the sword more. 3-0 obviously was the score at half-time. And so, in theory, City could have won more and more because Arsenal fans, you feel like that they were resigned to it from about the second minute of the game. And the Arsenal players look resigned to it. So City really could have gone in for the kill a little bit more there. Mikel Arteta, as I mentioned, is the leading contender for the Arsenal job. Why on earth they didn't just hold talks with him in London, considering Arsenal were playing Manchester City yesterday, rather than stalking him back up to the northwest at 2 o'clock in the morning, seems rather strange. But Arsenal seemingly are leaning towards Mikel Arteta, and even though it looks like a tough job for whoever goes in there, it would be tough for someone who is an assistant coach to turn down Arsenal. They still are a big club in this country, and to get that as a potential first job would be quite difficult for him to refuse. But he thinks needs to think very carefully about it, because if he takes this and it all goes wrong, where does that leave his future reputation going forward? We talked about Arsenal on the lookout for a new manager. Everton are also on the lookout for a new manager. Duncan Ferguson is in there on a temporary basis, a win against Chelsea in his first game, a draw at Manchester United yesterday. Well, it's emerging today. One man that has been linked with him ever since he left Napoli just a week ago is Carlo Ancelotti, and it is believed that he is the Everton board's first choice for the job. We talked about how it would be a very sensible appointment for Arsenal to go with, and Everton would be punching massively above their weight. This would be a terrific appointment for them. I don't really get why Ancelotti would go down to a level like Everton. It seems below him, but it would be a significant coup for Everton if they can appoint him. Interesting, as I mentioned earlier, Duncan Ferguson admitting publicly that the reason why he substitute Moise Kean after, 18 minutes was genuinely to waste time. Didn't hide away. It's very, very rare you get someone being as honest as that. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. The Champions League draw took place for the last 16 earlier on today. Manchester City will take on Real Madrid. Liverpool will play Atletico Madrid. Tottenham will take on Leipzig. For Chelsea, it's a replay of the 2012 Champions League final against Bayern Munich. We'll be talking all things Chelsea next.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, you can call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Obviously, we've been talking about the Champions League last 16 draw for all four English sides. The easiest draw of the four would be Tottenham against Leipzig, although Leipzig are currently top of the Bundesliga. Real Madrid against Manchester City, such an intriguing tie in prospect there. Liverpool returning to the Wanda Metropolitano to take on Atletico Madrid. And Chelsea Bayern Munich, which we're going to talk about in just a few seconds. Interestingly, for Manchester City, a very rough schedule is ahead of them. In a 10-game stretch, Manchester City will face Tottenham, Real Madrid twice, Leicester, Arsenal, Manchester United, Chelsea and Liverpool in a 10-game stretch. So it's going to be difficult for Manchester City in February, March of next year. Let's talk all things Chelsea now. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Oliver Harbord, Chelsea correspondent for Football.London. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Oliver. Before we talk about that Champions League draw, back to the weekend. A very disappointing afternoon for Chelsea fans. They lost 1-0 at home against an injury-stricken Bournemouth. Is that a bit of a reality check? And has this most recent run, four losses in the last five, been a bit of a reality check for Lampard and his players?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's the whole run, not just the weekend. It's something that Frank Lampard's alluded to himself as well, the fact that they've played well in patches and then very, very poorly. And, you know, we knew there might be some sort of a blip at some point. They had a very good start to the campaign, and now they're looking, you know, the top four place is under threat going into the Spurs game this weekend. I'd say that Saturday was probably the worst performance we've seen from Chelsea this season, I have to say. I think even, you know, some of the heavier defeats, that Man United defeat where they didn't actually play too badly. But this defeat, you know, it really was a poor one. They looked pretty short of confidence. Didn't create too many chances, you know, a couple of good ones, but not enough really. And to lose to a team who are really struggling with injuries, were out of form as well, you know, that was a real wake-up call for Chelsea in their hopes of getting into the top four come the end of the season.
What do you think Saturday's defeat highlighted more, Oliver? Was it the fact that defensively Chelsea are still looking very vulnerable and still very frail, or is it more of a case at the other end that even though Tammy Abraham's had a really good start to the season, Mason Mount has had an impressive start to life in the Premier League, Pulisic has shown glimpses of real quality, that ultimately when you lose a player of Eden Hazard's quality over the summer, that because they weren't able to actually sign anyone in the summer, they simply haven't been able to replace his sort of quality in a game like that where you would have thought, you go back to Eden Hazard's career at Chelsea, those were the types of games where Hazard would have stepped up with important moments, important goals.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it is more the forward line than the defence. We know that the defence has not been very good this season. I think it's only about four clean sheets all campaign, and that is a worry. But this was more about a game of just not putting the team to bed, really. Chelsea dominated possession for the majority of the game, as they have done against several teams this season. But they just looked really toothless up front, which is not something we haven't said a lot at the beginning of the season. And that's the real concern going forward. I think that, you know, Frank Lampard did hint at this sort of after the Lille game about the fact he was, you know, maybe going to look into the transfer market for another forward or winger or someone who's just going to kill games off a little bit more. But, you know, before at the beginning of the season, they didn't have Hazard, but they managed to find goals in other areas. And now they've dropped off. And that's the real worry for Chelsea going forward. And, you know, they just looked toothless and they looked lacked confidence. And, you know, they were passing the ball around at the back all the time and were unable to break through a very resolute Bournemouth team.
When you look at the Premier League table as it stands, Oliver, for Chelsea fans, we talked about a month ago and it kind of looked like the four, as it actually still is, Liverpool, Leicester, City and Chelsea, would pretty much be the top four in the season. I don't think there'd be a lot of people that would have verged away from that. You look at it going into the game coming up, which is a massive game. It's Jose's return to Chelsea from the Spurs dugout. Chelsea are just 3 points above Tottenham, and Tottenham would go ahead of Chelsea on goal difference if they were to win. Suddenly, in the space of four or five games, Chelsea have gone from a side that looked pretty comfortable as they could be looking for top four, to now very much looking over their shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of point of December, isn't it, really, how crucial this month and going into January is, because things can change so quickly with all these games, and you don't have a lot of time to work on the training ground as well to put things right. You know, they do have a full week this week, but then so do Spurs, and this is kind of the first week that Spurs have had under Jose Mourinho without a match that he can really work on everything, and we know how good he can be in one-off games as well and getting the tactics right, especially against the Chelsea team he knows so well. So, yeah, it's massive, and this real run of form, the, you know, four Premier League defeats in five, is a real worry for Frank Lampard, and they've got some massive games coming up, not just the Spurs one. They obviously have Southampton at home on Boxing Day, and then that's a huge game against Arsenal where, you know, we do expect there to be a new man in charge, whether it's Arteta or not. So, you know, it's really from looking very, very comfortable. We knew that there would be a blip at one point, but now they're really the one team you have to say are most in danger of dropping out.
So the Champions League draw took place earlier today. Obviously, Chelsea got through as runners-up to Valencia, so they knew there was a pretty good chance that they would face a big boy. Tottenham were the ones that got a bit lucky, even though Leipzig are currently top of the Bundesliga. For Chelsea, it's one of the other, obviously, the huge German giant in Bayern Munich. It's a replay of the 2012 Champions League final. Will Chelsea fans be thinking of that and thinking good memories, or they'll be looking at Munich and thinking they won six games out of six in the group stages? They look ruthless. They look like they are scoring a lot of goals, 24 goals in just six games. Is there a bit of trepidation with Chelsea's defensive flaws going into that tie?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I think that Chelsea fans, if you look at their reaction to the draw, you know, looking at social media, there's been photos non-stop of what happened in 2012, no doubt about it. And, you know, Lampard going back to the Allianz as well. You know, there's been a lot of excitement about that. But, of course, you can't look away from the fact that Bayern Munich are a massive threat. They haven't had their best Bundesliga season so far. You know, fifth in the table right now. And, as you say, Leipzig are the ones sort of at the top. But they look so good in the Champions League. And if you look at what they did at Spurs and, you know, absolutely whipped them apart at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, that's the one big thing for Chelsea. If they can come away from that first game at home, you know, without conceding, that will be a massive boost going into the second. But it's the same with the Champions League. You know, we're still a few months away from those first games, and a lot of things can change. You see what might happen over the January transfer window. You know, if there's an injury, you never know what might happen as well. So while there is a lot of trepidation at the moment against what is a very good Bayern team, and we know their history, you know, Chelsea fans won't be too worried about it yet. We'll just see what happens when sort of February comes around.
Do you think going into that tie, obviously, as you mentioned, the kind of fascinating aspect of it that we don't know what transfers might be done in January. We don't know what the form of the respective sides, injuries that either side might suffer from. Do you think, though, it's a bit of, not a free hit, because all these sides have earned their place in the last 16, but there is the expectation. I think more people would say that Bayern Munich are the favourites going into this than Chelsea are. So do you think, to an extent, Frank Lampard's side, they've got into the knockout stage of the Champions League, which will be seen as a decent job coming out of a group where Valencia impressed, Ajax, so many people surprised they didn't get out of that group, that against the side of the quality of Bayern Munich, because there's not that same expectation on Chelsea as maybe there would have been 4 or 5 years ago, that this could be seen as a bit of a free hit and a lack of pressure on Chelsea?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I don't think a lot of people would have expected Chelsea to go amazingly far in the Champions League. I think that, you know, if the draw had come up and it'd been, you know, a nicer draw maybe for them, you might have thought a quarter-final space. I think it is a free hit in a way, but, you know, Lampard's not going to let his players or the fans know that. They know that they will be underdogs, but they all go into that, you know, giving it their all. I think that's kind of the same when it comes to the top four race as well. If you looked at the beginning of the season, you would have thought that Chelsea would be the team to be really struggling in the top four race, and it hasn't quite been like that. So, you know, it is a free hit, if you like, in a way, but as we say, you know, they do have January now to spend a bit of money if they can, and then we'll sort of see what happens from there. If they had the transfer ban still in place in January, then you'd be like very much so that it is Bayern Munich's hot favourites, but we'll see what happens come January and then at the beginning of February.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Oliver. That was Oliver Harbord, Chelsea correspondent for football.london. Chelsea obviously joined alongside Bayern Munich, a repeat of the 2012 Champions League final. You remember that game at the Allianz Arena where the expectation was that Chelsea would lose, and they went and won it. Obviously, that was after the semi-final with Gary Neville's rather excitable reaction to Fernando Torres scoring at the Camp Nou, and Chelsea went on to win that. And then a matter of months later, Chelsea were the last side, obviously, to win the Champions League and be knocked out in the group stages of the next season. It's a tough game for them against free-scoring Bayern Munich, who haven't had it all their own way, though, in the Bundesliga, with Leipzig currently top in that. It'll be interesting to see Chelsea, whether they do go into the January transfer window. I think it'd be surprising if they didn't make any signings in January. And also, I do think there was a bit of an overhyping of Chelsea earlier in the season. And I think that's also a little bit unfair on Frank Lampard to heap that much pressure on him, because he's had to come in losing Hazard, and this is his first season as a Premier League manager. He had 1 year of managerial experience, and so he was never, and with a transfer ban, he was never going to suddenly work wonders. But Chelsea, it was about a month ago, we were asking the question, is the current top four absolutely guaranteed to be the top four at the end of the season? I think most people were saying yes. I think I was even saying yes, that is going to be the case. But after four defeats in five, and maybe some of those frailties, average Chelsea being exposed, they are just 3 points ahead of Tottenham. And as I said, if Jose Mourinho against his former side wins on Sunday at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Spurs would go above Chelsea on goal difference. And you wouldn't have said that only a matter of four or five games ago. So certainly pressure building up on Chelsea, but we are still quite a way away from the Champions League. The four English sides, Real Madrid against Manchester City, Atletico Madrid against Liverpool, Chelsea against Bayern Munich, and Tottenham take on RB Leipzig.
This is Love Sport.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.